November 14th,
2017. I think we started the Mishnah on Sadi Gimel on the base. The Torah says that the Gid Anasha is also Bachila. So the Gemara Mksochim has a machloikas satarim. It says in Chumash that Chometz bePesach is also Bachila. It doesn't say whether it's also Bahanoah. So it's a machloikas satarim whether Chometz bePesach is also Bahanoah. So one Tan Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, what are you talking about? Tameh alatzmech? Who ever heard that Chometz bePesach is also Bahanoah? But we paskin that it is also Bahanoah. So the question is, where does it say that in the Chumash? That Chometz bePesach is also Bahanoah? So the Gemara has a famous sugya in the second parak in Pesachim, the machlok is Chizkia and Rabbi Yabohu. So Chizkia is of the opinion that you have to have a pasuk to say that chametz is osmanu. Whatever basa b'cholav is also a machlok is hatanoin, but it's osmanu. So you have to have a pasuk to teach you that it's osmanu. And Rabbi Yabohu thinks the other way. He thinks that in principle, whenever the Torah says something is osmanu b'achila, it's self understood that it should be osmanu as well. Unless you have a pasuk to say that it's muta bahano. So the Gemara has a shaila. What's the story with Gid Anasha? Gid Anasha says in the Chumash, Alkein lo yochel b'nei yisoz Gid Anasha, you're not allowed to eat it. Is it asa bahano also, or is it only asa bachila? So the Gemara Psochim quotes this Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Gimel on base. If you look on the right hand margin on the side, there's an asterisk on the first word of the Mishnah, Shalech Adam, it says Psochim Chav Beis. The Gemara Psochim quotes this Mishnah to show that the Mishnah is of the opinion that Gid Anasha is Muta Ba'anoa. Reb Shimon disagrees. There in Psochim, the Gemara quotes Machlokes, Reb Shimon holds Gid Anasha is also Ba'anoa. We mentioned the Zohar is written by Reb Shimon by Chois, and the Zohar it says that Gid Anasha is also Ba'anoa. And the Gemara quotes Reb Shimon and says Gid Anasha is also Ba'anoa. So the Rambam paskens like the Mishnah, Gid Anasha is Muta Ba'anoa. But based on the Gemara and Psachim, it's problematic why the Rambam paskin like that. The Tosfos here quotes the whole Gemara. It's surprising, the Gemara Gid Anasha does not discuss it, just the Gemara and Psachim on Daf Chav Beis. Where's the Tosfos? There's a Tosfos later. Hilchos here. The Tosfos is on Tzadik Tes on the Beis. Tzadik Tes on the base, Tosfos towards the bottom, the Hilchasa, not the bottom Tosfos, the very last Tosfos, but the one next to the list. The Hilchasa, Eina Gidim Bidon Sutam. So Tosfos quotes this whole Gemara from Perikol Shor, that if you're all like Rabbi Abohu, and that's how we paskin, that whenever the Torah says something is also Bachila, Dam is also Bachila, Eid Melachai, what else is also Chelev, Basa Becholov. What else? A whole bunch of things. Chometz bePesach, Gid Anasha, okay, Nevela, Trefa. So whenever you have a whole list of Macholos Asuras, so whenever you have Macholos Asuras, in principle they should all be Asa Bahanoah, unless you have a pasuk to say that it's Muta Bahanoah. So the Gemara says, so what's with Gid Anasha? So Gid Anasha said that it's Asa Bahanoah, so it should have been Asa Bahanoah. So the Gemara says, no, we have a pasuk in Chumash that says, if you have Nevela, Nevela says also Bachilu should have also been also Bano. But the Pasuk says if you have a Nevela, Lagera Shabashrecha Titnana Bachola or Machala Nochri, you should either give it to a Ger. A Ger doesn't mean a convert. A non-Jew who converts to Judaism has to observe all the laws of Kashrus, so he's not allowed to eat Nevela. So it goes on, it doesn't go on a Ger Tzedek. A Ger who converts is called a Ger Tzedek. It goes on a Ger Tosha. A Ger Tosha means a non-Jew who accepted upon himself in the presence of the Bezin of three Jews to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'Ninoch, what they're obligated to observe. So a regular Nochri is also obligated to observe Sheva Mitzvahs B'Ninoch, but he doesn't have the din of a Ger Tosha. And if he accepts upon, if he commits himself to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs, that he's B'chuyiv anyway, then he has a special status of the Ger Tosha, and a couple of dinim are different. Less than 10 dinim, probably less than 5 dinim. Nafkamin is la'aloch about a Ger Tosha. So the Pasuk says that if you have Nevela, you're not allowed to eat it, but you can give it as a gift to the Ger Tosha, because the Ger Tosha was allowed to eat non-kosher food. Or Machal HaNochri, are you allowed to sell it to a goy. So from the fact that you can sell it to a goy, see that it's muta b'hano. So the Gemara says, when the Torah says you can sell nevela, the Chumash talking about nevela, when the Torah says you can sell nevela to the goy, so that shows that nevela is muta b'hano, and also included in the whole, you sell the whole behema, that's a nevela, included is also the chelev of the nevela. Chumash says that chelev, certain fats, all the fats are unhealthy, but some of the fats are asa b'achila, there's an isa karis. But the even the fats that are asa b'achila, muta b'hano, you're allowed to sell it to a goy, you're allowed to use it to for other purposes other than eating, to polish your shoes, or they use chelev and they make soap, they use it, they put it in the expensive soaps, they put in chelev. So chelev is mutabana, that's okay. So I didn't know chelev is mutabana. So the Gemara says, when the Pasuk says, kishuhut nevela, and the Torah says you can sell the whole nevela to a nachri, it means every part of the nevela can be sold, not only the flesh of the nevela, but chelev of the nevela also. So that shows nevela is mutabana, and shows chelev is mutabana. Sure, that's the din. Then the Gemara says, should you say the same kishuhut nevela, he vechel behutra? Maybe I should say kishuhut nevela, when the Torah allows selling the veil, getting an offer, maybe he the chelba vigi the hutra, maybe get an osha is also included. If it says you're allowed to sell the nevela, you can get hanor from the veil, means all the parts of the veil are mutamana, including the get an osha. So the Gemara says there in Psochim, 1 minute. There is a machloik is here on this daf, on Sadik Tesama Bay, is the last line on the daf. There is a machloik is hatanaim. If you cook get an osha in a pot with soup, do you assume yesh begidin b'raisetam? Let's say I cook a pot of vegetable soup and I throw in a little chazer schmaltz, and the chazer schmaltz is less than 50%. So do you say that it's bottled b'raiv? So we say no. You have to have shishim. Why do you need shishim? Because if you don't have shishim of 60 units of heter against the 1 unit of isa, we assume that the heter will be raisetam, even though it's less than 50%. But still, you'll be able to taste it. When you eat the soup, it'll taste differently. Like this, it tasted like vegetable soup. And like this, it has a schmaltzy flavor to it. If you have shishim and a heter against the isa, so usually, ruba de ruba, 95% of the cases, if you have shishim against the isa, it's not going to be nice and tam. Unless it'll be the lotaima, right? Unless it's a flavor. If you have a flavor that's concentrated, so then it's going to be nice and tam, and much more than shishim, right? If it's a special, if it's manufactured as a flavor. So there's a machloikas hatanaim. What if you're cooking vegetable soup and you took a piece of gid anasha and you put it into the soup? So does that succeed in giving nesinas tam? Yesh begidin b'naisin tam? Does it give a nesinas tam? So you need shishim against it. But you say, no, ain't begidin b'naisin tam. It's like a shtikholz, eitz b'almahu. It's like a piece of wood. But Torah says you're not allowed to eat it, but it's really it doesn't taste like basar. It's not dinik basar. It's not edible, and it doesn't give any nesinas tam. So the Gemara says here on the last line in the Gemara, Tzadik Tes on the base v'hilchaso, and this machleka satanayim we pass ain't begidin b'naisin tam. That if you cook gid anosha in a pot with vegetable soup or with other flesh, it does not succeed in giving a flavor. How can you have a machleka and mitzias whether the gid anosha gives a nesinas tam? It means that it gives a very slight nesinas tam. So that's the machlekes. Is that mashahu of a nesinas tam? Is that called tam ki ikir? Maybe it's only called tam ki ikir if it's clear. When you eat the mixture, let's say non-kosher candies or non-kosher cakes or cookies, so how much treifas is there? It's less than 50% treifas. It's not 51% chazer schmaltz. Have a little bit of chazer schmaltz and a little bit of treifas in it. So, but it enhances the flavor when you eat the trefik cake or the cookies and you eat the trefik candy, so it's a significant chelik of the flavoring. But if you have your cookie danosh and a pot of soup, it'll affect the change in a very slight way. So that's a machlekes. Is that slight difference sufficient to apply the rule of tam kik or that it gave nesinas tam, so it's not bottle bereif? You have to have shishim against it. So we pass on that's Tam kolosh and it does nas. Ain't begin b'nais and tam. So the Gemara in Psochem, that's what Tosfos here quotes. Gemara in Psochem says like this. And the Chumash says that nevela is muta b'hano. Agerish avasharach etetan l'vachalo amochal anoch. You can sell the nevela to the guy. So you see from that pasuk at least two things. Nevela is muta b'hano, and the chelev shebe nevela is also muta b'hano. because the chaylev is included in the whole animal of the nevela. Shad is whether the gid anasha is also included. When the Torah says the nevela is mutabano, he say can shuutra nevela he the gid also hutra or not. So Gemara says that depends. If yesh begidin ben aysen tam, then a gid anasha is dina kibasa. It's like a chaylek of the flesh of the animal. So there's a din nevela on it. So when the Torah says nevela is mutabano, means all the parts of the nevela, including the gid anasha, is also mutabano. But if once you pass can ain the gidin ben aysen tam, that the Gidden do not succeed in giving the Sinas Tam, there's no Tam Ki Iker. So it also means that the Gid itself is like Eitz B'Alma, it's a Shtik Holtz. It doesn't have any Tam, it doesn't give any Tam. And the other food, so it's only Eitz B'Alma, so it's not really included in the term Nevela. So when the Torah says Nevela is Mutabana, it goes on the flesh of Nevela, it goes on the Chelev of Nevela. Chelev Nevela is edible, it tastes like regular fat. Years ago, people would enjoy eating fat. Today, everybody knows that it's not healthy, so we avoid it. But years ago, they would love eating fat. But the Gid Anasha, once you say, Ein Begidna B'Nasin Tam, it's Eitz B'Yam, so it's not really Dina Kinevela. It's not Dina Kibosa, so it's not included. So according to the Gemara, it should come out, L'maskana, since the Hilchasa, since the Gemara says on the last line on Tzadik Tes on the base, Ein Begidna B'Nasin Tam, so the Gid Anasha is not Dina Kibosa. So you can't say Kishvutra Nevela Gid Anasha is included, because Gid Anasha is not a chelik of the Nevela Alpidin. It's a chelik of the animal, but Alpidin is not considered, doesn't have a din Nevela on it. So that's the Kasha on the Rambam. The Rambam paskins Gid Anasha is Mutar Bahano, and he paskins Ein Begidin Menos in Tam. So the Rashbo and all the Rishonim ask, this is according to the Gemara Pesachim, Daf Chabeis, this is a contradiction. That's what Tosfos says. These two are contradiction. So Tosfos says, once you pasken, once you get to the maskana, ein begidin benos in tam, so it should come out, the gid anasha is also bahano. So that's what Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in his commentary on the tour, and the Beis Yosef, he writes, the Rambam says, gid anasha is muta bahano, is a shver Rambam. So she really should have come out, that it should be also bahano. And the Zohar, and Mifrat the Zohar, says the gid anasha is also bahano, so we ought to follow the Zohar, and we shouldn't follow the shver Rambam. So we mentioned that the Bach comments, on the Beis Yosef, what did he gain by saying that the Zohar says that Gid Anasha is also Bano? The Gemara quotes Reb Shimon says that. Reb Shimon is the Zohar, so that we already knew from the Gemara. It does not have any more power. You tell me that the Zohar says. Reb Shimon and the Gemara is quoted as saying Gid Anasha is also Bano. But that's the issue, that's the Shaila. So where did the Gemara see from our Mishnah? The Gemara saw from the Mishnah on Tzad Gimel on the base, the bottom two lines in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah holds that Gid Anasha is Mutabano. Why? Shalech Adam Yerech Lenachri, she Gid Anasha B'toch, Meneshe Mekam Menikar. I'm permitted to give a gift to a Nachri. So the Nachrim, by us, they have to butcher up the side of the animal in order to remove the Gid Anasha. It looks like a sloppy mess. By the Nachrim, they'll broil the whole thing together. I remember years ago, I work in the OU in Kashrus on Friday. So you remember years ago, there was some kind of a Jewish convention was scheduled for a Sunday afternoon. And that Sunday night, I think, and the Sunday, I think it was in Washington, D.C. So Sunday afternoon, there was going to be a Boy Scout Suda, a Boy Scout banquet, and they wanted a tray for food. And then the same night, in the same hotel, there was going to be a kosher affair. So how are you going to kasher all the kelim in one day? It's going to be a problem to kasher. So they had a suggestion, give the Boy Scouts kosher food, the world won't come to an end. So that posed a problem, because they were serving flesh, and they didn't want to cut out the Gid Anasha, because if you cut out the Gid Anasha, it looks like you butcher the flesh, it looks like a sloppy mess. So the goyim didn't want it. So that's what the Mishnah says, you're permitted to give a matana to a nochri, a big half of an animal, a big thigh of the animal, yerech, the Nachri, with the Gid Anasha in it. So the Goy appreciates, the Goy gets more hanoah from getting a yerech, a side of an animal that's not butchered up, that's not cut up into tiny pieces. So that shows the Gid Anasha is mutabanoah. I get hanoah from the fact that I'm giving it to the Goy, he's going to be makatevet to me. Either I'm selling it to the Goy, and it's more valuable if it's not cut up, if it's not butchered up, and they didn't remove the Gid Anasha. So either either I'm going to charge more money for it because the guy's going to be happier, or if I'm giving it to Mamatana, so the guy's going to be makatova to me more because of the fact that I gave him the whole side of the animal with the gid hanasha. So the Gemara Pesachim says, you see from the Mishnah, that it's mutter to get hanor from a gid hanasha. If you, let's say, if the animal, that tesis, I'm sorry, tesis of the base, we were just looking before, so the tesis says like this, what if the animal is already butchered up, the whole flesh is all cut up into little pieces, then I'm going to give a matana or sell a guy a piece of flesh with some gid anosha in it. So the guy is not going to pay more money because he's a gid anosha, it's not edible. Nobody wants to eat the gid anosha anyway. If I'm selling it to him, or if I'm giving it to him in matana, he's not going to be more appreciative because of the fact that I gave him a piece of flesh with the gid hanasha. He doesn't plan to eat the gid hanasha. It doesn't taste good. The only time it's considered getting hanor from the gid hanasha, if I sell a whole shtick flesh, a whole yerech lenachri, with the gid hanasha, betoch, everything is bishleimuso, so then the goyim like it better. That's like we had the Gemara before in the beginning of this period. When you makriv a korban oila on the mizbech, so you burn everything. When you makriv a korban shlamim, a korban chatas, a korban oshim, so you burn the chaylev and the rest, the baila meat or the kohana meat. But if you makriv a korban oila, so you burn everything on the mizbech. So the shayla was, are you allowed to burn the gid anosha on the mizbech? So the Gemara had a machlekes hatanoim. So one Tana said, you're not allowed to, because the Paskin Yecheskel says, when you bring karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, when you pour wine on the Mizbeach for Nisuch Hayan, has to be Mimashke Yisrael. Has to be kosher wine that a Jew would be allowed to drink, so that you're allowed to pour on the Mizbeach. But if it's also Bachila for the Jew, then it's not permissible to pour it on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara said, so one Tana holds you're not allowed to be Makter, the Gid Anosha on the Mizbeach. So when do you cut it off? So the Gemara says, first you bring the whole side of the animal on top of the Mizbeach. That's more Bekobedi. And then you butcher it up on top of the Mizbeach, and then you take out the gid hanasha and you burn it. As opposed to butchering it up on the floor of the Azar, on a table, and then putting it on top of the Mizbeach when it's all cut up, when it's all cut into. The Gemara says, more bekavadik is, like the Mishnah says, more bekavadik is to give or to sell to the Nachri the whole Yerech with the gid hanasha in it. So that's what the Gemara derives from this Mishnah. The Mishnah assumes the gid hanasha is mutabano. And Tosfos thinks, based on the Gemara Pesach, we shouldn't paskin like the Mishnah. We should paskin and get anasha as also
ba'anor. You're not afraid he's going to sell it to Yid?
So now the Mishnah says, but isn't there a lifnei iver l'sita michshol? I'm going to give the whole thing to the guy, and in this city, all the butcher shops are kosher butchers. There are no non-kosher butchers. Everything is kosher. So isn't there a concern? In this city, everything is done by kosher butcher. So the assumption is that a Jew can buy meat from a goy, because we know they don't shecht their own. The goyim are not going to shecht their own. Everybody buys at the kosher butcher shop. So the Mishnah says that there's no concern that the goy may resell it to a Jew, and the Jew will eat it with the gid hanasha. So the Mishnah says not a problem. Nation become a nikar. The Jew will see the whole yerech of the behemoth is bishlei muso. So he'll realize they didn't cut out the gid hanasha. If they would have cut out the gid hanasha, it wouldn't be shalem. It would be all butchered up. It would all be cut up. So the Gemara asked the kasha right away, I'll sell it to the guy with the gid hanasha b'shalei musa. Then the guy will cut it up, chop it up a little bit here and there. He won't remove the gid hanasha. Then he'll resell it to a Jew. So what's to prevent the guy from making a sloppy mess, cutting a little bit, and making believe that gid hanasha was removed by the original Jew? So the Gemara says, no, made the idea. The Jews will know whether the gid hanasha, you can tell by the way it's cut, whether the gid hanasha was removed or someone just patchkin around over here. So if the guy's going to patchkin around without removing the gid hanasha, the Jew who will want to buy it from the guy will realize that the gid hanasha was not removed, so there's no chashash of lifnei iver over here. So the Gemara says, but you see from the Mishnah that such a system is permissible. The implication for the Mishnah is that if all the butcher shops in this city are Jewish, and the goyim do not do their own slaughtering, and everything is done by the Jews, you're permitted to buy meat from a goy in the city, because we know that that's the kashrut system the way we have it today. You buy meat in the A&P, and the meat is wrapped in packages, or you buy canned goods. you canned sardines, or canned tuna fish, or whatever, and it has on the label, has the endorsement of the kashrus organization. So how do you know that that system is reliable? Maybe someone is fooling around over there. So the Gemara says over here, if you set up a whole system, and it seems that the system is working, and people are not violating it, so then you rely on that for kashrus purposes. Here they had, in the days of the Tanaim, they had the system. All the butcher shops in the city were run by Jews. All the shechita was kosher. The goyim would buy the meat from the Jews, and then if the goy buy a lot of meat, and then resell some of the meat to the Jews, he would make money in between. So a goy would make his own butcher shop, but he wouldn't shecht his own behemoth. He would buy all the flesh from the Jews. So that system is acceptable, the Gemara says. What if we'll find out that people, the goyim are falsifying? So if you find out that one person falsified, so the Gemara says, you don't make the whole world meshugah, you don't cancel the whole kashrus system just because once in a long while you have a violator. There are always going to be violators, but the system is good. If it's going to turn out that there are violations every month, they can danish tikkun, that means the whole system is not reliable. So the Gemara says, if once in a while someone violates it, machnish dais, you still have the right to rely on the roif that the system is intact, and it's a good way to give a hashgach. So all the hashgachas are based on this daf Gemara, it's Sarik Dalet. So the Gemara comments like that on the Mishnah. It says, Shaleach Adam Yerach Lenachri. The Gemara says, Shlema En Chatuch Alo. You're only allowed to give him the Yerach Shalem, Neshem Mekom Aniker. If a Jew will buy the flesh from the goy, he'll see that nothing was cut out. So he'll realize that the Gid Anash is still there. So the implication for the Mishnah is Shlema En. Yes, the Jew is allowed to buy from the goy if the Erech is Shalem. But if it's Chatucha, but if it's all chopped up, and you sold it to the goy with the Gid Anash in it, then you're not allowed to sell it to the goy, because the goy may resell it to a Jew, and the Jew will think that the Gid Anash was removed. So there'll be an issue of Lifnei L'Seitei Michshol. Frag the Gemara, what's the situation over here? B'may Askinan, what's the nature of the system in the city? If you should say b'makom she'ein machrizin, the shaila is like this: find all the shechita is done by Jewish shochtim. So what do they do? Once in a while, there is a behema that's an aveila. They didn't do the shechita properly. Or once in a while, there will be a behema that will be a treifa. They'll check on the lungs and they'll find the sircha. They'll say it has a broken leg. It's a treifa. So the question is: if you have this system set up, that all the shechita is done by the Jews, do they announce the day that there's an aveila or a treifa? Do they announce it in all the shuls? Be aware that today there's a treifa. And the implication is only buy from a Jewish butcher, don't buy from a goy, because we may have sold the neveila, the treifa, to the goy. They don't want to be too explicit, because the goyim are not going to like it. All the shechita is done by the Jews. When they have a neveila, the treifa, it says set up to the goy. So if they're going to make an announcement on the radio, in the newspaper, that there was a neveila, the treifa today, and we sold it to the goyim, so the goyim are going to feel very uncomfortable. They sell us their garbage, they sell us their junk. Whenever it's a flesh that they don't want to eat because the animal is diseased, or the animal died before they had a chance to kill it, so then they sell it to us. So the goyim are going to be upset, they're not going to like the whole system, they're going to stop buying from the Jews. So the question is, are you machrizin? Do you announce the day that there's an aveila? You announce it, or you don't? If you don't announce the day that there's an aveila, so the whole system tightnish, because how can you allow the Jews to buy from the goyish and butcher shops? Because the goyim always buy from the shechit is always done by the Jews. Fine, the shechit is always done by the Jews. But if once in a while there is going to be an aveil or a treifa, so if they're not going to announce today there was a non-kosher animal, so all the people are going to still continue buying from the goyish butcher shops. So toiknesh, so the whole system is no good. So the Gemara says, the mayaskinan, what's the case in the Mishnah that the Jews can buy flesh from the goyish butcher shop because all the flesh was geshachten by Jewish shachten? What do you do with this? An aveila treifa, lema. If the case is, if you should say, m'makom she'ein machrizin, they never announce when there's an aveila treifa. So chatucha nami l'shadalei, you can even sell a yerech to a goy that is cut up, even though they didn't remove the get on hersha, because the loss of the mizba minei, the Jews will never buy from the goyish butcher shops, because they never announce when there's an aveila treifa. So only goyim will buy from the goyish butcher shops. Jews will never buy from them. Elam was mezongin, you're talking about a city where whenever there's an Avela Trefa, they do announce it. The Gemara is going to say later on the base, how do they announce it? So it's not Derech Eretz to announce, today there was an Avela Trefa and we had to sell it to the Goyim. That sounds awful. The Goyim are not going to like that. So they used to announce it in code. Instead of saying there was a non-kosher animal, we had to sell it to the Goyim. So they would say, we had to sell some flesh to the soldiers. Soldiers are Goyim. So that was the code that they said. Nafal, what they say, Nafal Bisra, I forgot already where the Gemara is. The Gemara says they didn't say here. Nafal Bisra lebinei chela. Some of the flesh went to the soldiers today. It means some of the flesh was nevela trefa and we had to sell it to the Goyim. But they didn't want to say explicitly because then the Goyim are not going to like the whole system. It sounds embarrassing to them. And whatever, when there's food that we can't eat because the animal is diseased, then we sell it to them. So they're not going to like it. So the Gemara says, Elam was mezogen on the second line from the top of Tzadik Dalet. Was mezogen, we're talking about Mokam in the city, the practice is Shemachrisen, that they do. All the shechita is done by the Jews, and you can buy from the goyim shebutcher shops because they buy from the Jews. And mokum shemachrisim. Whenever there's an avela trefa, so they announce. They don't announce explicitly; they announce by code. And everybody, all the Jews know that today they can't buy. Today they can't buy from the goyim shebutcher shop. They didn't have freezers, so they're not going to save all of the flesh till tomorrow, the day after. Everybody's going to get fresh flesh that day. So the day that they announced that today there was an avela trefa, so that day you can't buy from the goyim shebutcher shops. So Frank Bigmar, if that's the case, Mokshmach reason, so Shlema Namilo Lushadale. You shouldn't be allowed to sell even a Yerach Shlema to the Goy, because the Goy will butcher it up, the Goy will cut it up, make believe, get a Nasha was removed, then he'll resell it to the Jews. Why aren't you afraid of that? The Gemara, no, that's not a Chashash. What is the Gemara saying? So the Gemara says, you can give two interpretations in the Mishnah. You boy, same, if you want, you can say Mokh Shemach Rizin. The minute I'm welcome is that they do announce one that's Nebeda trade. Boy, same, Mokh Shemach Rizin. Now, you boy, same, if you want, you can say Pshat in the Mishnah, Mokh Shemach Rizin. They have this kashra system. All the Shechita is done by the Jews, and whenever there's an Avela that day, they'll announce. There was today it wouldn't help. They'll put it in the freezer to sell it next year. Mm-hmm. But in the days of the Gemara, there was no freezer. So if they got the Nebeda trade for today, so today you can't buy from the Goyish butcher shops. Tomorrow they're not going to sell today's flesh tomorrow. So Eboy said, Mokum Shemach Rizim, they had the whole system in place. How can I sell? And Lohich Rizu that day, so everybody knows they may buy from the Goyish butcher shops because all the flesh today is kosher. So the question is, the Goy will butcher it up a little bit with the Gid Arnosh and he'll resell it to a Jew. The Gemara says, no. Chituch Adav Kechav made the idea. Everybody knows, you look at the way it's cut up, the Jews are used to buying flesh from the kosher butcher shop. So you know what it's supposed to look like when they cut out the Gid Arnosh. The Goyim don't know how to trade with the flesh. Today, all the trading is done by the Goyim. The Shvartzen and the slaughterhouse, they do the trading. The Jews don't do the trading. The Jews have to tell them what they have to cut out. But in the days of the Tanaim, the treibin was all done, the nikur, the removing of the chutei chelev and the chutei dam, and the giranosh, everything was done by the Jews, and the goyim didn't know what it's supposed to look like after you cut it out. So they'll cut it a little bit, but the Jews will recognize that that's a fake, that the giranosh was not removed. He boys same, and if you might, you can give a different shot. That is b'mokum she'eim achrizen. We're talking the minhag hamokum is they don't announce when there's a nevela trefa. They don't announce it. You can never buy any flesh from the goyim because maybe there's a nevela trefa. So the Jews are never going to buy from the goyim. The Gemara says no, but there's still a chashash. Maybe a Jew will be watching when I, the kosher shochet, the kosher butcher, when I'll sell the flesh to the goy. Maybe a Jew will be watching and will see I didn't tell the goy that it's trefa. So he'll mistakenly think that it's probably kosher. Okay, yeah. He'll see, I sold it to the goy. The goy didn't shecht it himself. Maybe mokum shemach reason. And the reason why you're not allowed to sell if it's chatuch is exer shem yitan lenu b'fnei Yisrael acher. Another Jew will be watching when the kosher shochet, when the Jewish shochet will sell it to the goy, and he'll think that it must be kosher flesh. Sure. The boy same what the Gemara says, and now starts a whole new discussion. So the Gemara says, if you have such a system of kasher set up in the city, like we put on the OU on the cans, or the stockade, the chofke, whatever it is, put on the cans, And we know that the system is working. Even though you're buying it from a Goyisha store, they're not going to make their own labels, they're not going to put their own stuff in the cans. You know what the system is, there aren't so many violations. Once in a long while there's a violation, but you have a right to follow, go baser roif, and assume all the food is kosher. So now the Gemara is going to start a whole new discussion. Be boy same, or if you want to, you can give a different reason why you're not allowed to sell chatucha to the goy, because of Geneva's das. The goyim know that the Jewish kosher food is healthier. They had a couple of years ago when a couple of people died from mad cow disease, so they had the papers that if it would have been kosher meat, it would never have happened, because it would have been a trefa. The Jews would never have shechted. So at that time they wrote in all the papers, all the magazines, a lot of goyim are starting to buy kosher meat, because they know that the kosher meat is not diseased. The trefa meat is sometimes diseased. Kosher meat is healthier. So if I sell meat to a goy, and I cut it up in such a way that it looks like I treibed it, I removed the ginanasha, and there's nothing unhealthy about the ginanasha, but the goyim know that kosher meat is healthier. So if I'm going to give him a piece of meat that does have the ginanasha in it, and I'm going to mislead him into believing, I'm going to cut it up in such a way that he'll think he doesn't know what you're supposed to take out, the ginanasha, and he'll think that I treibed it, I removed the ginanasha, and I didn't. So Gemara said, that's an iser of Geneva's das. To the goy, yeah. The Gemara says, Geneva's das is also to a goy. Geneva's das means, if I fool anyone, I fool a Jew or non-Jew, into believing that I did him a toiva, and I really didn't do him the toiva. Let's say, the Gemara's going to have a case. Let's say, my wife had a baby, and I walked an hour on Shabbos to the hospital to visit my wife. Then they tell me that my wife is on the fourth floor. On the sixth floor, the plane is in the hospital. So I walk up two flights up. And I say, my dear friend, I walked all the way from the Bronx in order to be my bakacha. That's not true. I walked all the way from the Bronx an hour because my wife is in the hospital. Then I walked two flights up. It took me 5 minutes to walk two flights to visit the other person. So if I fool him into believing that I came specially to visit him, that's Geneva's Dasa. Why is it also? Because he's going to be Maka Taiva to me. He'll probably repay the Taiva to me someday in the future. I don't deserve to be repaid. I deserve to be repaid that I walked 5 minutes, two flights up, but I don't deserve that. I didn't walk an hour for him. He's probably going to repay it thinking that if I mislead him into believing that I walked specially. If I just walk upstairs and I say, good Shabbos, how are you? Feel better? Sorry to hear it. I didn't tell him that I walked all the way from the Bronx. Let him figure out on his own. If he figures out on his own, he thinks that I walked all the way an hour, that's not Geneva's Das. I didn't mislead him into believing. It's Iudate Anafshe. But if I mislead him into believing that I did him a Taiva and I really didn't, so he's going to repay the Taiva that he thinks that I did to him. So that's Geneva's Das. In schools, they always tell the kids that they're not allowed to cheat on the exams. It's Geneva's Das. The Pashtus is, it's Aser, but it's not Geneva's Das. It's a different Issa. Geneva's Das is, if I fool the person into believing that I did him a favor, in exchange for which he's going to be Makar Taiva between, I didn't really deserve that Hakara Sata. That's the Geneva's Das. To cheat on the exam is a different thing. That's the Issa Sheker. In the Chumash, Lesa Shaka, Ishba Misa only applies. If I, let's say, everybody has to pay taxes. So if I fill out my tax form and I write much less, I earned $200,000 a year, and I write that I earned $100,000 a year, and I pay less taxes. So I'm cheating all the other people who do pay taxes. I'm cheating whoever the money goes to. So years ago, the money used to go to the king. The taxes used to be to enrich the king. So whoever does pay the taxes is stealing from the king, and the king has the right and the privilege to get enriched from the people. Today, the money doesn't go to enrich the king, it doesn't go to enrich Mr. Trump, it doesn't go to enrich the mayor of New York City, it doesn't go to enrich the governor of New York State. We elected the mayor, the president, and the governor. We elected them, and our representatives decided how much their salary should be. So we all agreed to that. So the money doesn't go to enrich them. The money goes to cover, in Shulchan Aruch, it says like this, we're all considered shutfin. We're considered shutfin on three different levels. There's some things are taken care of by the municipal government, let's say the filtering of the water, and then the school system, the education system. So the people want the school system to have the children should be able to go to school. They want to have parks. So there's certain things that are taken care of by the state, there's certain things that are taken care of by the federal government, the mail deliveries, the federal government. Creates other things. Some of the highways are taken care of by the state, some are taken care of by the federal government. So all the people that live in New York City are shutfim on three different levels. With shutfim on the municipal level, to take care of all the things that the municipal government takes care of. And you go basurayv, I didn't send my children to the public school, but most of the people in New York City do not send their children to yeshivas. So most of the people go basurayv, whenever you have a shutfim, you go basurayv. So whatever the people want a public school system. The religious Jews don't need it, because we send our children to yeshiva, but you always go basurayv. So wherever the people run a public school system, so everybody has to pay for it. So we're all shutfim. So whoever cheats on taxes is stealing from all the other shutfim who have to pay more on the taxes. If everybody would pay their taxes, everyone is supposed to pay, would pay their taxes, I wouldn't have to pay. I'm paying twice as much as I should pay because of all the ganavim who are not paying. So if a person fills out his tax form falsely, he writes down that he earned less and he pays less. That's this. So you're not allowed to tell a lie to cheat the other person on the money. Let's say I did work for you, and I claim I worked for 10 hours, and you agreed to pay me whatever, $100 an hour, so you owe me so much money. I didn't work 10 hours, I only worked 9.5 hours, I worked 8 hours. So if Lois Shakri Ishba Misa means I'm not allowed to tell a lie and get money from you that I'm not entitled to. If I'm going to tell a lie, I'm not going to pay the taxes that I'm going to pay. So the pasuk in Chumash Losa Shakrish by Misa goes when the sheker is going to lead to making money, but stama a sheker is not going to lead to making money. I give food to the goy and I tell him you should know this is kosher food and everybody knows kosher food is healthier than non kosher food, and it's not true. It's not kosher food. It's in the veil of treifa. So that's an iser of Gnevas Das. I fool them into believing that I'm selling them kosher food the same price as not. If I charge glatt kosher prices for nevela, that's outright geneva, because the nevela should cost less. But I tell them I'm giving you a bargain. I have leftover glatt kosher flesh and selling it to you for the same price as nevela meat. And it's really, I'm not doing him a toif, I'm selling him nevela meat for the price of nevela meat. But that's geneva's das. I told him I'm doing you a toif, I'm giving you a break. I'm giving you glatt kosher meat at the same price of nevela meat. So he's going to be makar teiva to me, and I don't deserve that hakar sal teiva. So that's called geneva's das.
Amiso could prefer to gayim also. Amiso could prefer to gayim also.
Usually not, but geneva's also. Geneva's also. So geneva's also also, because when he's going to pay back the teiva, I didn't deserve it. So I'm getting something from him. He thinks he's mechuyev to do the toiva to me, but Torah's hakaras ha-toiv, and he's not really mechuyev because I didn't really do him the toiva in the first place. So that is asa. That's gezalakum. Gezalakum is not allowed. So the Gemara says, "V'iboy yisemo." They're trying to discuss why does it say in the Mishnah you're not allowed to sell. You're only allowed to sell yerech shleima to the nochri, because mekom aniker. There's no chashash of lifnei iver that the goy will sell it, resell it to a Jew. The Jew will think that all the flesh in the city is taken care of by the Yiddish and Shochtim. There's no such chashash that will think that they took out the gid on Osher, because mekom aniker, he sees the Jew who will buy from the goy will see that no gid on Osher was removed. The whole yerech is bishlei musa. But if it's cut up, then it is. If it's cut up, then you're not allowed to sell it to the goy, because the Jew will buy from him and will think that the Gid on Osher was removed. So the Gemara says maybe the reason why you're not allowed to sell it if it's cut up is not so much because the guy will resell it to the Jew and it'll be lifnei, but rather if it's cut up I'll mislead the guy to believe the Gid on Osher was removed and this is glatt kosher meat and it's really treif, it's really osa because it has Gid on Osher. There's nothing unhealthy about eating Gid on Osher, but the goyim think that kosher is healthier, and he thinks I'm selling him kosher meat, and it's really not kosher. It's really not kosher, because that's a Gid on Osher. So that's the Gemara's third suggestion. If you buy same, and if you want, you can say the reason why you're not allowed to sell him chatucha, shum de kogon of leile daite, because of Geneva's das of the goy. He's going to think that I did him a toiva, that I sold him kosher meat, and it's not really kosher. The Amar Shmuel, Shmuel is the one that says, also lignav das abris afilo daita shalav kecham. You're not allowed to fool a nochri, a Jew or a nochri, into believing that you did him a toivah. So Shmuel really made such a statement. Also lignav das abris. And Amar says, no, it's an inference that the students of Shmuel inferred from a Maaseh Shehoyah. Behold, the Shmuel, this din that we attribute to Shmuel, that Kenevus Das is also, Shmuel never said it openly, that Kenevus Das of Anachri is also, there was a Maaseh Shehoyah, and Mechlala means we're inferring from what Shmuel said, that he holds Kenevus Das also. Why? The Shmuel have a Ka'ava be Mavra. Shmuel once crossed over the river on a ferry. A Mavra is a boat that goes from one side to the other. So when he crossed over the river, Amalei the Shamei, so Shmuel went with a Gabbai. So he told his Shamei, he told his Gabbai, Paisei le Mavure, go pay something to the ferry, the Balabos, the guy who owns the ferry. He took us to pay the fee. Pisei, so the Gabbai paid him off. Ikbid, and Shmuel was upset. He was upset something about the way the Gabbai paid him off. He says, my time Ikbid, what was he upset about? He told him to pay him off and he paid him. Amar Abaye, this is the Maaseh Shehoyah was, Tanagodas Trefa Havoy. It was a Trefa, which the Jews can't eat anyway. So he gave it to the Goy and he told the Goy, you should know this is Avglat Kosher chicken. It's a very healthy chicken and it's not true. And it's not true. He told the price was, so if the glat kosher chicken sells for $10 and then the regular chicken sells for $7 and he owes him $10 and he owes the guy $10 and he said, this is a glat kosher chicken, here's $10 worth of stuff, then it's Geneva. Then it's Geneva. He gives him $7 and he fools him into believing that it's worth $10. Then it's a Geneva mamish. He owes him $7 and he says, here's a chicken, this chicken is worth $10 because it's a glat kosher chicken. But I don't have anything, I don't have any cash, I don't have anything else to pay you. Here's it with the tip included. Here's a $10 chicken, even though I only owe you $7. So that's what Shmuel was upset about. Tarnagolas Trefa Havoy, the Shamas gave him a Trefa chicken, the Yava Nahale, and the Gabbai of Shmuel gave it to the ferry man, to the Goyisha owner of the ferry, the Mar de Shchuta, making believe in the place of a Shchuta. He said it's a glat kosher chicken, and it wasn't. So that's how you know that Shmuel holds that Ganevis Das of a Goy is awesome. Rav Amar, Rav says, not necessarily correct. Rav has a different version of this story. Amfake Amar Lele Ashkuye. He told Shmuel, the Maaseh Shehoyah was Shmuel told the Gabbai, give him some strong schnapps, some strong wine, and then he gave him shvacha wine. He gave him yain that was mazuk. So it has nothing to do with Ganevis Das then. According to Rava, you don't see that the Shmuel holds a Ganevis Das of a Goy is also. According to Abaye, you see. Abaye says the Maaseh Shehoyah was that the Gabbai gave the Goyish a ferryman a tray for chicken, claiming that it's really worth $10. And it was only worth $7. All he owed him was $7. But he fooled him into believing that he did him a toiva, that he gave him the $7 with a $3 tip. And there was no $3 tip. It was only worth $7. But according to Rava, the way Rava said, L'chore has nothing to do with Geneva's Das. Let's see. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says both according to Abai and Rava. Okay. The Gemara says both according to Abai and Rava, That's the source of this statement of Shmuel. From that Maaseh Shehoyah, you see that Shmuel holds that Ganevus Das of a Goy is us. So the Gemara said, but Shmuel never said it explicitly. We inferred it from what Shmuel said. So the Gemara said, what's the difference whether you inferred it or you said it explicitly? Isn't it a good inference? Behimech lola mai, and if it's by inference, what's so bad? The Gemara on the side and the margin of the Gemara, they tell you, look, in Bracha Staf Yud Beis, Visham Nisman, there they give a list of all the various Gemaras where they quote something from an Amoira, and he never said it explicitly. We inferred it from something else that he said. And the Gemara says, what's the difference whether he said it explicitly or inferred it? It's all going to be the same thing. Gemara is going to say, no, if it's an inference, there's room to dingzach. And maybe that's not what he was driving at. So that's what the Gemara asks here. And if it's an inference based on what Shmuel said, but isn't it a good inference? So still, that's what Shmuel said. Ganevus Das is also. Gemara said, not necessarily. Leman de Amar Treifa Havoi. If you hold like Abai's version of the story, that the Gabbai of Shmuel gave him a treifa chicken, and he claimed that it was a kosher chicken. It's a $10 chicken. He's giving him $7 for the trip and $3 for the tip. He fooled him into believing that it was a tip. So maybe what Shmuel got angry was not so much because he fooled him into believing that he gave him even a tip of $3. Maybe he was upset. Why do you have in your bag a treifa chicken? What are you walking around with non-kosher food? You're not. The Gemara says in the end of the first parak Misochim, you're not allowed to retain non-kosher food in the house because one of the children may by mistake eat the food. Your wife may eat the food. You may forget that it's not kosher. So he says, the inference is not 100% obvious. Laman the Amar Treifa Avoy, according to Abai's version of this story that he gave him, a Tana Goyla's Treifa, and he fooled the ferryman into believing that it was a Ksheira. Yeah, Treifa Avoy, Amalei, so the Pshat is, Amai Tashi Yisura. That Shmuel was upset that the Gabbai, why do you keep Treifas around? You should have disposed of it yesterday. You shouldn't still be carrying around the Treifa. Elaman the Amar Ank. According to Rava's version, that he asked the Gabba, give him a strong drink of schnapps, a strong wine, very strong wine. So he was upset that he didn't obey his instructions. Anke fachaya mashma. He meant give him a good drink, and he gave him a shrach drink. So he didn't fulfill the request of Shmuel. That's why Shmuel was upset. But not necessarily because it was Ganeva's Das. He can't really prove from the story that Shmuel holds Ganeva's Das is us. But we do Paschal like that. Even though the Gemara says it's not 100% conclusive proof that that's what Shmuel holds, that is the din. Ganeva's Das is us, or even Ganeva's Das Shal Nochri.
Maybe it was Ganeva's Das of Shmuel. Because he thought he shouldn't have this.
That's not Ganeva's Das. He violated a din. There's a din, you're not allowed to keep non-kosher food around because you may forget and eat it. So that's maybe that's what Shmuel was upset about. Yeah. Tanya Hoya Rav Meira. I maybe have a brisa that says along the same lines, Al Yisara Varam Lachavero Lisaretz Lavideh Boshein Esoid. I know you have to catch a plane. I know you never eat by anybody else. I'm going to keep on insisting you should eat by me. It should look like I'm offering you something. And I know in advance, it's not sure you're not going to eat by me. That's also Gnevas Das. I offer you a meal that you should see what a kind, well, how friendly I am to you. And I know in advance that you can't come. I know it's not sure. So that's also Gnevas Das. I'm fooling you into believing that I'm your best friend. So someday you'll probably repay that toiva by giving me back something in it. Yeah. That's Rab Chaim Soloveitchik married off one of his children, so there was the Aguda was in the middle of a machlokes. Rab Lezer tells her felt that they have to have a newspaper to fight against the maskilim and to fight against the apikursim. So he said, just like the maskilim have newspapers and they brainwash the public by writing essays in the newspapers, they said the frumi didn't have to have newspapers and magazines also to present their sheep. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was opposed. He thought you're going to have a newspaper, it's going to turn into a react sheet with Loshon Hara. The end of it, maybe you're going to have a couple of articles about frumi zachen, about Torah and mitzvahs, but you're going to have a lot of Loshon Hara. So he was opposed. So Rav Chaim was marrying off one of his children. So he didn't invite Rav Lezer Telzer because of this issue. He didn't want to be mechaber him. So Rav Lezer Telzer came uninvited to the wedding, and he wished Rav Chaim a mazel tov. And he said, "I assume you didn't send me an invitation because I live in Telz usually, and Telz is so far, and you're not supposed to invite a person to a wedding if you know he can't eat by you anyway." Because you're just fooling him into belief that's like an neighbor's life. Fool him into belief that his best friend. But if you would have known that I'm in a neighborhood, so I assume you certainly would have invited me, and I happened to be in the neighborhood, so I came on invite. So Rav Chaim thought that that was so nice of him, so he was mechaber him to be beside the Kiddushin at the wedding, and he said he's the greatest Oyev Torah of the generation. Rav Lezer tells him. And then Shaila came up about the kashrus. They didn't have a caterer. So every balabasta cooked 5 or 10 portions of flesh. And then they served all the flesh, like by my bris. My parents told me my bris. There was no caterer. So all the people in the city were all religious balabatim, so they all cooked. They all made cakes and pies and cookies and fish and whatever, and everybody served whatever they had on all the different tables. There was no one caterer for the whole meal. So in the middle of the meal, there was a shaila on one of the pieces of flesh. So Rav Lezer tells her, went back, they used to make fun of each other. The brisket made fun of the telzer derech, and the telzer made fun of the brisket derech. Rav Lezer tells her, went back to telz, he says, we should stop making fun of the telzer, that the briskerov knows how briskerov was Rav Chaim. He referred to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik as the briskerov. Briskerov knows how to learn Gemara, he knows how to paskan a shayla. So they asked him, what was the shayla? And we'll tell you what the answer is. You don't need Rav Chaim brisket. So he told them what the shayla was, and then he finally told them what Rav Chaim paskan. They didn't realize what the psak was going to be. But that was the story. He came uninvited, and he said, I assume the reason why the Rav Chaim didn't invite me, because I live in Telz. You're not supposed to invite a person if you know he's not going to come. That's this Gemara. Are you sorry about him? You're not supposed to insist b'chavera, lisa etzlo. I know that he can't eat by me. I just want to keep on insisting to make believe as if I'm his best friend. So you're not allowed to do that. That's Ganeva's das. For layar below b'tikruvis. Tikruvis is a matona. I give you a very elaborate matona, and I know you're not going to accept it. You're allergic to chocolates, or you're allergic to flowers, and I'm going to give you matona. I know they can't accept it. I'm just putting on an act as if I'm your best friend, and someday you're going to repay that koras hatoif. Someday you're going to repay it. So that's Ganeva's das. You shouldn't give an elaborate gift via the Boshenim and Kabbalah. I know that you can't accept it. Or, let's say, we have a bottle of wine that's open already from last week, so I'm going to make Kiddush on Friday night. I'm going to take the bottle of wine. So we have a guest on Friday night. So, in your honor, I opened up a new bottle of wine, to have fresh wine. I opened a new bottle of wine because I didn't have any wine left over. Not in his honor, I opened. I ran out of wine, so that's why. So that's a fake. So the Gemara has a different thing. I have barrels of wine, so if you open it up, it starts to spoil. Same thing if you open up a bottle of wine, you have to drink it right if you're a feinschmecker, if you know the flavor of wine is supposed to be. So once you open up the bottle of wine, you have to finish it right away. You're going to wait to drink half of it next week, it's not going to have the same flavor. So the barrels are the same way. So let's say I open up a new barrel of wine, and I tell the guest, it's in your honor that I opened up the new barrel of wine. You open a new barrel of wine, the flavor is going to be weakened, and I'm not going to tell him the truth. I already sold this barrel of wine to a shopkeeper, to a saloon owner, who's going to pick it up on Sunday and going to sell it. He's going to give everybody a cup of wine. He's going to sell the whole thing. So he doesn't care whether the barrel is open or closed. So I'm not really losing anything by opening it up. I didn't open up in honor of the guest and suffer a big hefset. I'm going to give it v'layimka, how to say, v'layiftach l'chovias, I shouldn't open up a new barrel of wine for the guest. Hamachuris l'chenvani, I already sold these barrels to the storekeeper, to the saloon owner, and the saloon owner doesn't care if I open it up today, because he's going to open it and sell it little by little anyway. Ellen Kane Hodia, unless I tell the guest, don't think that I'm opening up in your honor. It's sold anyway, and I'm not losing anything by opening up. So that's the din of Ganeva's das. I have an empty container of oil. It says on the outside it's also. I say, take some oil and rub it into your hair and rub it on your body. I know the guy's allergic to oil. I know he never uses oil anyway. I make believe, and the whole bottle of oil is empty, but he doesn't know. The guest doesn't realize that it's empty. So I put on an act as if I'm prepared to give him a whole container of oil, and there's nothing there. But I give an empty container, and I say, take as much oil as you want, and shmir all you want, and have a good time. What if I want to show the other people around the table, I hold this man as an adam choshev? So not that my kavana is to fool the guest, that he should feel indebted to me, he should be makatav to me. I want to show all the other guests, all the other people, what an Adam Choshevi is. So that's not Ganeva's Das. I'm not angling to get him to be beholden to me for the Teiva. I want everybody to know that I respect him so much that I'm prepared to give him Shvul Kvod Adonis Mutam. So that's the din of Ganeva's Das. That's the halacha. That's what Shmuel said. You're not allowed to do Ganeva's Das. And that's what Rav Meir says in the Braisa. Ayisar Vodam, that's the din of Ganeva's Das. There's a Tosefta in Bava Kamma, and I think it's the last parak in Bava Kamma. The Shach quotes in the Choshe Mishpat, Asura Gazlanim Haim, there are 10 different types of Gazlanim, and the worst one is the Geneva's Das. The worst form of Geneva is Geneva's Das, to fool a person into believing you did him a Toiva and you really didn't do him. And he's going to repay the Toiva and you really didn't deserve anything. How can you tell me that if the barrels of wine are already sold for the chenvani, for the shopkeeper, for the saloon owner, and you're not losing out, you're not allowed to put on an act as if you're honoring the guest opening up a new barrel? You have to tell him, I'm not losing anything by this. Ula once visited Rabbi Yudah's home, base Rabbi Yudah, and he opened up barrels that were already sold in Chenvoni. So this is not an act of Geneva's Das. Everything more than that. He told him in advance, don't think that I'm giving you such I'm opening up the barrels in your honor. They're going to be opened today anyway by the owner of the saloon because he bought all the barrels. It's not such a big hefset bummer that I'm suffering. Or the Gemara says, "V'i boy same," and if you want, you can give a different answer. Shani Ula, Rabbi Yudah liked Ula very much, and Rabbi Yudah would have opened up a brand new bar. It happens that those barrels had already been, he already agreed to deliver it to the bar, to the saloon owner, to the Chenvani. But even if he wouldn't have sold it to the Chenvani, he would have been prepared to open up a brand new barrel for Ula. So my boy same, he can give another answer. Shani Ula the Chavile the Rabbi Yudah, the Belaf Ha'ochinami Petuchim Me'achtachle. Even if they wouldn't have been sold to the bar owner, he would have been prepared to open up the barrels for him. So that's not a Geneva's Das. Then the Gemara continues, the same Isra of Geneva's Das. Tan Rabban, another example. They used to come to the Beis Ovel to bring food and drink because the Ovel is sitting Shiva. So they have to bring food for him like their practice today is. So the guy's going to come with a big canteen. He's going to make believe he has a lot of wine, and he knows that they have more than enough drinks there. So he's going to make believe he's bringing a canteen. There's nothing there. Nothing. Then they're going to say, oh, we have more than enough to drink and to eat. So he's going to say, okay, as long as everything is taken, I was going to take it home. He's putting on an act as if he was prepared to donate, as if he was prepared to give the Beis Ovel a whole barrel, a whole bottle of wine, a whole canteen of wine, and there was nothing there.
Bring wine to an oval? Or you just talk about the people who come to visit?
No, to the oval, yeah. In fact, the Sudas Avra, the Gemara says, should be wine. Before the Kvura, he's not allowed to have Bas of Yam. But after the Kvura, the Gemara says it's you should give wine. You should give intoxicating beverage. Not that he should get drunk, but he should relax his tension a little bit. Yeah, and the Rishonim say you should give bus of the yain, but Sudas Havra, they say it should be fleshik. More correct, Sudas Havra should be a bekovedik mil, should be a fleshik mil with bus of the yain. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dafayin. Le'nivra yain ele the nachem boyas ha'avelim. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Mishle, I think. And the flesh, that the Rishonim said, Agvas Maimon, he said you should give fleshik mil. The Sudas Havra should be a sudim luchubedis. Here and there, usually they don't give. They give bagels and lox or something, but the Rishonim say you should give basa the yain. So the Gemara has the third wide line. The Gemara has a brayso also about ganeim b'das liyeh lechadam lebeis ovel biyoda nagin lagin a canteen hamis kashkeish. It makes noise, so it sounds like it's has a lot in it, and it's really empty. And he knows they're going to say, "Oh, we have more than enough, so please take it home." So he's going to put on an act as if he did him a tayvah. Or he's going to fill it up with water. He's going to fool him into believing he brought a whole bottle of wine because he knows that they're not going to drink it. He knows they're going to say we have more than enough. He's going to take it home. So that's Geneva's Das. Because he fools him into believing that he's prepared to give wine. What is that? Mutter. So Rashi says, like we said before, you're not allowed to put on an act. I'm opening up a new bottle of wine because I ran out of wine. I'm going to say, oh, in honor of the guest, I'm opening up a new bottle in his honor. It's not really true. I had to open up a new bottle anyway. But if I want, if my intention in putting on this act is to fool the guest, that I'm really going out of my way to be Mahanahim, that's Geneva's Das, because he's going to repay the Toiva, and I don't deserve to be paid. But if my intention is to show all the other people in the room how much I'm machshav him, so that's not a gneivas das. I want to be machshav. So that's what Rashi interprets here. If there's a chever here, there are other people there, and he makes believe that he's prepared to give a bottle of wine, that they should see how choshev this oval is. So then your intention is not to fool the oval, but rather to impress upon the public how choshev the person is. So then that's not your intention, is to get the hakoras atav. Then there's no ganeves das. Then it's okay. Then the Gemara has other examples of ganeves das. Tanra bana have a bris liim karadim lachavera sandal shal mesa. They make shoes out of leather. So you can either use leather from an animal that you shechted, or that you killed, or an animal that died a natural death. Animal died a natural death, a lot of times it died from a disease, and you're going to make leather shoes from that, it's going to be diseased. So I'm going to wear the shoes if it's a contagious disease, so it can be transmitted by wearing the shoes. Years ago, there used to be a minig that you wouldn't wear shoes of a dead person. So the Achranim say, where does the minig come from? Because people would die from a disease. So the disease would be, the germs would be in the shoes, and whoever's going to wear it is going to get, it's a contagious disease. So they're going to get sick also. But if the guy died and leaves a good pair of shoes, it's a hefsed mamas, so why shouldn't you wear the shoes? That's what the Achranim say. It's a mistake people make. So it says, you're not allowed to make believe that this, the leather with which I made the shoes, came from a live animal that we shechted, and it's really not true, it came from an animal that died a natural death. The Gemara says, there are two reasons why it's not allowed. Number one, you fool them into believing that it's more valuable, because people would prefer to have leather shoes from an animal that was geshochna as opposed to an animal that died a natural death. The other reason, you may be transmitting the disease. The animal died from a disease, so maybe if the animal died from old age, it's not a problem. But if the animal died from a disease, it may be that making shoes from the leather of that animal would transmit the disease to him.
Would this be a problem to the Gerer Rebbe who wanted himself to use treifa?
Also, okay, I don't know.
In Messiah, it sounds like a shel shuva dechayo is more chashev than a
leather. Yes, yes, it should be a hider mitzvah, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Good point. That's a good point. I don't know. We once told over a story that the Ger Rebbe from 50 years ago, I forgot who it was, the Beis Yisrael. I don't know. So so Seifer was once telling him that he has a Ger Chassin. He has a Chumrah, even though the Gemara says you're allowed to use parchment that was made from the hides of an animal. It has to be a kosher animal. You can't use hide from a horse leather. You can't use elephant or donkey's leather. It has to be from a cow, from a kosher animal. But the Gemara says, as long as from a kosher animal, even if it's an Avela Trefa, it's okay. So this chassid said to the Rebbe, he has a midas chassidus. He only uses glat kosher geshochten abeimus. If it's only kosher, it's not glat kosher, he doesn't use it. So the Rebbe said, I think it's a midas chassidus to do the reverse. He said, the kosher geshochten animals are going to have a tikkun, that the flesh is going to be eaten by people, and the flesh will help them do avodas Hashem. They'll be healthy, they'll be able to learn Torah, they'll be able to daven. But the behemoths that are nevelos or treifas, they never had a tikkun. No Jew ever ate the flesh because it's nevelo treifa. So that animal never served in avodas Hashem. So he thought, the Rebbe thought it would be a heeder to use davke hides from nevelos or treifas, and to have a tikkun for them. They should, at least part of the animal, not the flesh, but the hide should be used in Avodas Hashem. So he's saying that based on this Gemara, it should be a heder to use an animal that was healthy animal, not a diseased animal, not an animal that died a natural death in a vela, not an animal that was a treifa. I don't know. It's a good point. So the Gemara is talking about one of the reasons is because you're fooling him. You're fooling the customer. He thinks that it's a more valuable pair of shoes, and it's not. I'm going to send him a barrel of wine, but the shemet sof al piha, but on top of it, the oil floats to the top. So I give him a gift, and he thinks that it's all oil. And he doesn't realize just the top 2 inches is oil, the whole bottom of the barrel is all wine. So he may invite guests to his home, that they should come and eat the bread and dip the bread into the oil. I use the oil for their salad dressing, and it's going to come out that there is no oil, just the top 2 inches of oil, the whole thing is wine. So you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't send a gift. You shouldn't send a gift to another person, shel yayin, a barrel of wine, with shemen tzof al pi, and the recipient of the gift will think that it's all shemen. You shouldn't do that. And I said, once upon a time, he invited a lot of people to eat by him, and they're going to use the oil as salad dressing, going to use the oil to dip the bread in, and so on. And then when he found out that it was all wine, there was no oil, all the guests came. When the host realized that the whole barrel is full of wine, it's not full of oil, he committed suicide. He invited all the people to have a whole party and to use the shemen, and he committed suicide. So the Gemara said, you should never do that. You shouldn't misrepresent the gift that you're giving, because the fellow may be relying on the fact that it's oil and it really isn't. And then another Meister Shahar the Gemara de Braisa quotes, Vein Horach Manshan Litim Mashal Lefnem. I invite guests to my home, and then they're going to take, I let them eat whatever's on the table. Eat is on take. So they take flesh, chicken, salad, kugel, whatever they want, cholent, whatever they want, they can take. They're going to take and give it to my children. So they shouldn't give it to my children without asking me in advance, because I may have some good reason why I don't want to give it to the children. Ein Horach Manshan, the guests who are eating by me, they're not permitted Litim Mashal Lefnem to take the food on the table that the host offered them, the bino lebitur shel balabais, unless elon ken noto vishus mit balabais. Why? It may be that he doesn't have enough to feed the children and the guests. Maybe he invited guests. He doesn't have enough to feed the children. Children are going to waste it. It's not for them to eat. Ma'aseh, once upon a time, had bechad, shezina gimel orchem mishnei batzaris. It was a year of famine. There was hardly any food. He invited 3 people to eat. V'lohoylo lanich lefneim ela sholish beitzim. He only had 3 hard-boiled eggs. So bo b'no shal balabayis, so the child of the balabayis came, not lach mehem chalka nesanala. One of the 3 guests gave him his hard-boiled egg, gave it to the child. Chen sheni, the second guest, the children hadn't been eating anything for weeks. The father didn't have anything to give them. There wasn't enough food to go around. So one gave his egg to one child, next one gave his egg. That's all the father had to serve in the meals. And he didn't want to give it to the children. Shlishi. Ba'aviv shalatinoik, then he finds the child. He sees the kid is eating. Then he sees, it was the same child. Schnorred from all 3 guests. Mm-hmm. He took from each one of them their hard-boiled egg. So he has all the 3. So he has 1 egg in his mouth. He has 1 egg in his mouth he's chewing on. Ushtaimbiyot is holding the other 2. So the father was so furious, he thought the kid took on his own. And there was hardly anything to go around to eat. Chavot bekarkameis. He gave the child such a zetz. So he killed his own child. So the Gemara says, the moral of the story is you shouldn't give any food, even though you're the guest by the balbas. Shouldn't give anything to the children of the balabas unless the balabas gives you permission. And then what the rest of the story was, the wife saw that her baby just died because the father gave him such a zetz, he died. Kimishirasa imo, the mother of the baby, saw that the husband accidentally killed the child. Also, lagag v'naflo meisu, she committed suicide. Then the husband, when he committed suicide, terrible, disaster. So the moral of the story is, don't give anything to the children of the balabas where you're eating unless he authorizes, unless he gives permission. So the Gemara has a footnote, Amar Ablazim and Yanka, Valdobas and Nergit Gimel Nefashis, means so 3 Jewish lives were lost, the baby and the mother and the father. So the Gemara says, Maika Mashmalan, what's the Chiddush? That was the story. Well, what did he add on over here? That 3 people lost their lives. That's the story without, there's no footnote over here. What does he add? And for the Gemara, no, Kamashmalan, that Rav Lezer ben Yankov is the one who told this story. So the Gemara, my Kamashmalan, Kula Rav Lezer ben Yankov here. Rav Lezer ben Yankov is the one who says no one should ever do that. Should never give any food that you're offered by the balabas. You should never give it to the children of the balabas unless the balabas gives you explicit permission. Yeah, well, the Gemara is going to go back, what, to the topic of, let's see, Tan Rabban Hashalech Yerach Lachaver Shleimo. I'm sending a gift to another Jew. I send them a whole side of an animal, and it's clear that nothing was cut up. So there's no Lifneiver over here. The other fellow's religion, no issue of Lifneiver. He knows I didn't cut out the Gilanash. He sees that it wasn't touched. Because I'm not fooling him into believing that it's kosher. But if chatucha, what if it is a little cut up, but the gid anasha was not removed? So then he may not realize, he may think the gid anasha was removed, really wasn't. Chatucha, if it's cut up a little bit, tzach leitam nein gid anasha. Ubiyavi kochavim, and what if he send a gift to a goy? Ben chatucha ben shleima, ain't tzach leitam hamen gid anasha. You don't have to remove gid anasha if you give it to a goy, because the goy might permit it to eat gid anasha. There's no problem. The Mishnah said, that was the first line in the Gemara, right after the Mishnah, you're allowed to give shlema to a goy. Because if the goy will want to resell it to a Jew, the Jew will realize the gid anasha was not removed. But you're not allowed to sell a chatucha to the goy, because he may resell it to a Jew. So that whole varit only makes sense in a city where you have this whole system, that all the shechita is done by the Jews, and you're allowed to buy flesh from a goy. But if you have a city where no one ever buys from the goyim, because the goyim do their own shechting, they kill their own, they have nevelas, so then you can sell shleim or chatucha to a goy. You can give it, send it, there's no problem. Ain't self lit man gin on ashi, because no Jew will ever buy it from the goy anyway, so there won't be any issue of lif neivim. There are two reasons why you're not allowed to sell non-kosher nevela or treif. Nevela means it didn't have a proper shechita. Treif means it had a proper shechita, but it's a diseased animal. So what are the two reasons why you're not allowed to? Echad, one reason why you're not allowed to shema sev. You fool them, if you fool them into believing, you tell them this is glat kosher meat, and I'm selling it to you not at the glat kosher price. Give it to you for the same price of nevelas, and it's a lie. It is nevela treifa. I didn't give him a break. I didn't give him glat kosher, more valuable meat at a lower price. I gave him the lower price. That it is nevela treifa. So that's genevis das. I fool him into believing that I'm giving him a $10 item for $7, and it's not true. It's only worth $7. So that's genevis das. The echad, and the other reason why you're not allowed to, Hashem yachsim yikrenu liyisrael. He may resell it to another Jew. Yeah, so that's the shah. What do you mean? A Jew is going to buy from the goy? Either because the Jew may have been watching when I gave it to the goy, so the Jew will think that it must be kosher, or maybe it's in the city where the system is such that all the shechita is done by the Jew, like we had before. Then, let's say I'll give a guy money, I'll give him $50, and I say, please go to the kosher butcher and buy $50 worth of meat for me. So it says you shouldn't send a guy. Please buy $50 worth of flesh for me. There are two reasons why you're not allowed to do that. What are the two reasons? What's the issue over here? Echad mepneho anosim. What do you mean anosim? I'll give him $50 and he'll disappear. He'll steal the money. What do you mean from the butcher? Rashi says, "Okom anosim makabadinim yadayim." Gozel es hatabuch. I didn't understand what Rashi. Why does it say gozel es hatabuch? So is he stealing the money from me?
Take the money
from himself. I give him $50 and I
get
say
meat.
Yeah.
He'll steal the meat, he'll keep the money from himself. And then he'll give
so
it.
So he's stealing from the man who asked, who sent him. Is that really stealing?
From the
is that stealing from the tabach, is it? Well, why is he stealing from the butcher?
So he saved the money. The butcher got no money.
What?
The butcher got no money. He kept the money.
He kept the money.
So why the butcher give him the flesh?
He stole it.
I mean, he'll steal the flesh. Yeah. I mean, if I give him $50 to go to the butcher shop, he may pocket the money and steal the flesh.
Bring
okay.
And bring the meat to the guy.
I'm putting a bug in his head, Hesa. I say, go buy $50 worth of meat in the kosher butcher store. So it may occur to him to steal it. Okay. So it's not a smart idea to give money to a Nochri. In the days of the Gemara, all the Nochri were chashudim al hagezel. Today we have a police force, so it's not as bad as it used to be, but still, all the Nochem, maybe they are chashudim al hagezel. Yeah. So Echad said, what are the two reasons why you shouldn't do that? Give $50 to the Nochri. So one reason is, he may steal from the butcher. He may go to the store and they'll see that it's a Nochri. And they'll say, I want to buy $50 worth. So if he says, Rabbi Shechter sent me to buy $50 worth of flesh, so they'll give me kosher flesh. He's going to give it to the Jew. But he's not going to say that a Jew, he says, he's going to say he's buying for himself. So then they may sell him the Velus of Trefus. So those are the two reasons why you shouldn't send enough. Yeah.
Is it a question about Basher and Salman Ayin?
The Gemara is going to just talk about Basher and Salman Ayin. Yeah. That's on the next day. Basher and Salman Ayin, we pass in Shulchan Aruch as Mutter. But Basher and Salman Ayin, if it is Asr, the Gemara has a Machlokes on the next day. That means like this, if I left food in my outside and have a fenced in yard, and I left raw flesh on top of the table, and then I come back and it looks like it's the same raw flesh on top of the table. If I have simonim and I know how to identify it, so the simonim are a biro gamas. I know that it's the same. I have no simonim. I just know I left flesh. So one opinion is basas and salmonine, you're not allowed to eat because shema ha'orvim echlifu. Maybe birds, maybe animals came, took away the kosher meat and brought some nevela meat. But if it's inside a building, then and you know you never have any animals. You have mice running around once in a while. You have cockroaches, but you have ants. But you don't have animals that can take a piece of meat off of the table and put another piece of meat on top of the table. So then that chashash doesn't apply. We have right outside of the Beis Medrash in the yeshiva, they have what they call a hefka table. So when somebody has a bris, or a pigyan ben, or a sheva bracha, they have leftover flesh, or something, or cookies, or something, so they always leave it there. Whoever wants can take it. So people say it's buses on the night. What kind of buses on the night? We don't have any animals walking around in the basement. So that's not buses on the night. It's what's a different chashash. Oh, if you have guards. So if you have a nochri is delivering meat, and he knows that kosher meat is healthier and more valuable than the trefa meat, healthier. So he may keep the kosher meat for himself and replace it with the trefa meat. But if you have the hefka table, that's the rule, kol kodim zocha. So the guard can come take as many fleshy sandwiches as he wants. He doesn't have to replace it with anything. They take like everybody else takes. There's leftover chicken from Shabbos and leftover kugel and leftover chon. So they leave all the leftovers on the table. So whoever wants eats it. So the guard eats it. He doesn't have to replace it. So there's no hashash of gezel there either. The only time there's a hashash gezel if the nochri he's driving a truck and he's delivering something. He may keep the kosher flesh himself knowing that it's healthier, then go to a trefer store and buy trefer flesh and replace it. But it's on the hefka table, he doesn't have to replace it, so it's neither an issue of bus or salmon ayin, because there are no animals there who can be machlefit. And we pass on bus and salmon ayin is mutter. And then there's no chashash of ichlufi of the nochri, because he doesn't stand to gain anything, because he doesn't have to replace it. So that's going to be the next daf, and the Gemara is going to talk about the Bosses on Salmon Ayin. Yeah, what does the Gemara have on the second line from the top? On Daf Tzadik Dalan and Beis. Omamar, it said in the Braise, they're quoting the Braise, they're going to elaborate on one line. Bavikachavim, if he's sending a gift to a Nachri, Ben Chatucha, Ben Shlema, Ben Chatucha, Enetzach Litman Men Ginanash. You don't have to remove the Ginanashah. Because there's no concern the goy may resell it to a Jew, and the Jew will think the gilon asher was removed. You don't have to be afraid. The Gemara says, "Maya skina, why don't you have to be concerned? Maybe the goy will resell it to a Jew." If you should say b'makom shemachrizim, they have a system in place. All the shechita is done by Jewish shochtim, and whenever there's a nevela tray for one day, so they announce in all the shuls there was a nevela tray for today. So that day they know not to buy from the goy. So it's a whole system of kashrus. So why don't you have to remove the gid anasha? The guy may resell it to a Jew, and the Jew will see it's cut up the way the Jews usually cut it to remove gid anasha. Given the la'achris, if they didn't announce today that there's an avela treif, also the mizma minay. The Jew may buy it from the guy, thinking that the whole system of kashrus is in place, and everything today is kosher. So he must be talking about a case, Malkam Shemach reason. Must be in a city where there is no system set up like this, so no Jew will never buy any flesh from the goy. Makam Shem Achriz, and if they don't announce that today there was Nevela Trefa, what does it help to all the Shechitas done by the Jewish Shachtim? But there may be Nevelas and Trefas, and they'll sell it to the Goyim, and then the Goyim will resell it to the Jews. So it must be, why don't you have to remove Genan Asher? That line in the price it goes in the city, but they don't have the system set up like this. You can never buy flesh from the Goyish butcher. In fact, the more Emim, etc. Look at the middle part of the Brisa. The Brisa says, "Ben Pnei Shnei Dvar Mamru." The two reasons why the Rabbi said, "Emroch and Nevelas and Trevis Love Kachav." Now let us on the Nevelas Trevis to God. One reason is Ben Pnei Shematayu. It's Gnevis Das. You fool him into believing that you're giving him such healthy $10 worth of flesh at the price of $7, same price as Nevelas and Trevis. And it's really worth $10 a pound, or whatever, $10 for the chicken. It's Gnevis Das. The second reason is Shema Yachsiyu Kerenel Yisrael. You're not allowed to sell the Nevelas Trevis to the guy. He may resell it to the Jew. But if you just said you're talking about a makam that the system, the kashrut system is not set up, no Jew will ever, no religious Jew will ever buy any meat from the guy. Even makam Shema Achrizim, if the practice is they never announce when they have Nevela Trevis, and no Jew can ever buy any flesh from the Goyish butcher shop. Hello, that's in the Mizmah Minah. El Pshita, that line in the Brice in the Mitzvah, the Mazv going, Mamakin Shmachrizim. They have a system set up, and you normally the Jews can buy from the Goyim, because you know that it's not Nevela Trevis, so therefore you're not allowed to sell Nevela Trevis to the Goy. He may resell it to the Jew. Fregdemar, Amos Sefer. What about the third part? The Reisha seems to be talking about a case, but there's no system set up. Mok Meshem Achrizen. The Mitzvah is talking Mok Meshem Achrizen. And the Sefer, the last line in the Brisa, Le'yam Rodem Lava Kachavim. You're not allowed to give $50 to a guy and tell him, Kach Lebedin and Zebosa, buy $50 worth of Pasher Flesh. For two reasons you're not allowed to. One is Bepnei Ha'anosim. I may put an idea in his head he should go steal the meat from the butcher shop. Okay. The Echad, the second issue, Shem HaMachim on Nevelis Trefis. They may sell him Nevelis Trefis. Freg the Gemara, Biba Mokin Shmach Rizim. But if you're talking about, if the Bryce is talking about a city where the system of Kashmas is set up, all the Shechita is done by the Jews. Whenever there's a Nevela Trefa, they announce it. So that day, did they announce that there's a Nevela Trefa? They didn't announce. If they would announce, I won't send a guy to buy from the store, because they're going to sell him. They may give him Nevela Trefa. Even Mokshim Achrizim. And me said, David Trefa, Achrizim, Havim Machrizim. So they would have announced. Elipshit Mokshim Shem Achrizim. So what's going on in the Brisa? There are three parts to the Brisa. One part is talking Mokmen Shem Achrizen, one is talking Mokmen Shem Achrizen. You don't write a Brisa like that. You write a Brisa, it's all talking in one city. Either the nature of the city they do have a kashra system set up, or they don't have a kashra system set up. So isn't it strange? Reisha is said Mokmen Shem Achrizen, it's said Mokmen Shem Achrizen. The Brisa says Fafal. That's how you have to read the Brisa. Each section of the Brisa, the Reisha, the Mitzet, and the Sefer, each one is talking about a different case. Yeah, and Zokta, yes. It's a cockeyed Brisa. Reisha v'sev makam she'em achrizin. They do not have a system of kasha set up. And Mitzet is makam shemachrizin. And Rabbi gives a different shan. Okay. Sure. Okay, we'll stop here. But that kasha system is set up based on this Gemara. That if you have a system set up, then the Gemara is going to say on the next dot. Once in a while, there'll be a wise guy who violates the system, either a Jew or a non-Jew. But if it's only once in a long while, then you have a right to rely on the roiv. The roiv is that the system is still in place and everything is kosher. But if there's going to be a lot of violations, then you have no system. Then it's not true. The Shabbos, instead of the regular Haftarah, we say Mocha Chodesh. So Rav Soloveitchik once gave a drosha many years ago, a very interesting drosha. How come we only have a Mocha Chodesh after? Why don't we have, let's say, if Shabbos is Erev Yontif, Erev Pesach or something, why don't you have a special Haftarah then that talks about what's going to be tomorrow? Why only a Mocha Chodesh Dika Haftarah? So he said something very interesting. He said apparently one of the reasons why the Chachamim picked the Haftarahs is to be mechazik the amun and bias hamashiach. Because in one of the brachas of the Haftarah, here the brachas are missing. One of the brachas is samchein shamkein beliyon on the abi avdach malchus. What do you say? Malchus bizdavid mishichech meheri yavov yogali benu. we hope that you should soon send Eliyahu HaNavi, is going to come before Mashiach comes. And we say a special bracha like that because a lot of the Haftaras were chosen because they speak about Bias HaMashiach and Eliyahu HaNavi coming. So a lot of the Haftaras they picked to be Mechazik De'emun and Bias HaMashiach. So there is an interesting medrash on HaChodesh HaZalachem and Parshas Bo. HaChodesh HaZalachem Rosh Chodoshim, that the Jewish people use a lunar calendar. The Rosh Chodesh has always been a new moon appears. And the Goyish world uses a solar calendar. So the Medrash Rabbah has on that pasuk that from, if you count the generations from Avraham Avinu till Shlomo HaMelech, it was 15 generations. So the Jewish nation began Eschol LeGoy Godel from Avraham Avinu, and then Yitzchak was the second of the Avos, Yaakov Avinu was the third of the Avos, and the Jewish nation keeps on getting stronger, 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 like the new moon just begins to appear, you can barely see it, then it gets stronger, stronger, until it reaches full moon on the 15th day. It's at 29 and a half days, approximately 30 days. So when you reach the 15th generation, corresponding to the 15th day of the moon, so then that's the strongest. So that's in the lifetime of Shlomo HaMelech, there was peace and everybody had enough money, and then there was a Beis HaMikdash and everything was wonderful. And then everything started to deteriorate, went downhill. So there were 15 generations from Shlomo HaMelech till Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. Tzidkiyahu HaMelech was the end of the Bais Rishon period. And the Medrash says, Ve'enit Tzidkiyahu Iver, Melech Bavel blinded, Enit Tzidkiyahu. That's like the moon disappears. He became blinded, he couldn't see anything. So that was the end. So if you draw a chart of the Jewish history, it goes up, 15th generation goes to the peak of Shlomo HaMelech, then it goes down till Tzidkiyahu, and then the moon goes up. But we know the moon disappears for 18 hours, you can't see the moon at all. The Gemara says, Yudchev Shos Mechasi Sihara, the moon is invisible for 18 hours, then it's going to reappear again. So we're holding. So when it's Mocha Chodesh, when tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, means that today is the 18-hour period that you can't see the moon. So the Medrash has it, and that pasuk Achayus Alachem, that since the days of Enit Tzidkiyo Iver, from the days of the end of the Malchus Beis David, at the end of the Bais Rishon, by Shana there was no Malchus Beis David at all. So we are now the last over 2,000 years, 2,500 years, we are in the Tkufa of Mocha Chodesh. In the Tkufa Mocha Chodesh, the moon disappeared, and we're waiting that it should return again. That's what we say in Kiddush Levana. What do we say? We say the Jewish people, Sheim Hasidim Lishchadesh Kamosa Lefaral Yotzam Hashem Kvar Mechusa. The Jewish people are going to reappear, just like the moon reappears. So the Jewish people will be reinvigorated, like the moon. And the Medrash says that the Ummah Salam use a solar calendar. So the solar calendar, the sun rises and sets and goodbye. Either the sun rises tomorrow morning also, I don't know. That's how the Medrash says. If you draw a chart of the Goyish history, so you have the rise and fall of every country, it reaches a peak and then it goes downhill. The Romans and the Greeks and the Nazis and every nationality, the Egyptians, every nation like that. That's how the Medrash has a Malachim Olam Yardim Bo. I think we spoke about it last week. Malachim Olam Yarnabo. So the Medrash says, Malachim represent the Sori Kolum of Eloshin. Every nation has a Malach, a Sar. And Yaakov Avinu is dreaming, and he sees every nation, the Sar of every nation goes up, and then he goes down. The same Malach going up and going down. The Gemara said that the different Malachim, two Malachim going up, two Malachim going down, you have to have room for four Malachim at a time when they cross each other. But the different interpretations in the Medrash, on the Medrash Rabbah, on that Pasuk, they say the Malachim Olayim, the same Malachim who went up are going down. Every Ummah of Eloshin reaches his peak and then it goes down and it disappears from the scene of the history. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, Yaakov Avinu, you're next. I want you to go up the ladder. So he's afraid. He doesn't want to go up because he's going to go up, then I'm going to go down. That's going to be the end of the Jewish people. Baruch Shalom says, no, I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to hold you. You're going to go up. If you will draw a chart of the Jewish history, it doesn't go up and down. It goes zigzag, goes up and down, up and down, up and down. When we do Averis, we go down. When we do Mitzvahs, we go up. That's what it says in the Chumash. If you draw a chart of the Goyish history, you go up and down, and then it disappears. So that's what the Medrash Rabba says on that pasuk. Chodesh Elohim Goyish, history goes up and down and goodbye, like the sun. And the Jewish history is like the moon. When the moon disappears, we know it's only hiding for 18 hours and it's going to come back again. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. We don't say Mocha Chodesh to announce that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. We say Mocha Chodesh to be Mechazik the Amun and Bias HaMashiach, because what was the story over there? There was David HaMelech and Yonasan ben Shaul. And Yonasan ben Shaul gave over the Malchus to David HaMelech. They were the best of friends. Shaul HaMelech was very jealous of David. Shaul HaMelech's son, Yonasan, was very friendly with David HaMelech. So Yonasan gave over the whole Malchus to David. So why do you have to give it to David? David should have given over to Yonasan. Why did Yonasan have to give it away to Shaul? Why did Yonasan have to give it away to David? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, because they heard the Nevuah. They knew that there was a Nevuah, that the real Malchus is supposed to be from Shevet Yehuda, Lo Yosef Shevet Yehuda, and that's going to be the Malchus HaNacher, is going to be from David HaMelech. So the Melech HaMashiach is going to come from Malchus Beis David. So they all knew, if David is going to get the Malchus, then it's going to be a Melech HaMashiach in the future. If Yonasan is going to get, there was no Haftacha that there's going to be a Melech HaMashiach in the future. So that's why Yonasan was prepared to give everything away to David, because he wanted this Malchus HaNacheres to take place. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. Maybe that's why they chose Mocha Chodesh. You don't announce Mocha Pesach, Mocha Shavuos, Mocha Sukkos, Mocha Rosh Hashanah, Mocha Yom Kippur, only Mocha Chodesh, because this Haftarah emphasizes the theme of Bias HaMashiach. That was his suggestion. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, next I'm going to Eretz Yisrael this coming Matzoi Shabbos. I'll be there for a week, so I won't be able to give a share next week. I almost forgot all that, so I won't be able to give a share next week. But I'll be back before next Shabbos. I'll be back Matzoi Thanksgiving. Delicious.
The Gemalde Kivachim.